Okay, Rabbi Isai, we were discussing last week regarding the Chovis Halvavis, the Mechaber of the Chovis Halvavis, who is in the 11th century, which was of course in the 1000s. We pointed out that one of the great people of his time, which was Reb Shloimeh Gavirol, or Reb Shloimeh Ben Gavirol, or Reb Shloimeh known as Reb Shloimeh Ibn Gavirol, who himself was one of the Sfarish Gedolim, born in Spain, was Nifta in Spain, was born in 1021, and was Nifta in 1058. He was a Python, you know, wrote a lot of Piyutim, he was a great philosopher, and also a great Baal Musar. Just interesting to point out that he wrote many, many Piyutim, and his life was not an easy life. But what we find out from a letter that was, as we say, found or about 150 years ago or so, written by Reb Yehuda Ibn Tibbon, who was the one who was the Metargim, who translated the Chovis Halvavis from Arabic into Lashon Kodesh, into Hebrew, the letter from Reb Yehuda Ibn Tibbon to one of the Baal HaTosis, to Rabbeinu Osher Milunil, and we find out there that the Shloimeh Ibn Gavirol actually wrote a kitzur of the Chovis Halvavis, that he wrote a sefer called Tikkun Midos HaNefesh. Tikkun Midos HaNefesh, which is a sefer on Musar, which is sort of like a summary of many, many of the ideas presented in the Chovis Halvavis, and which is noteworthy because he was almost a contemporary. Chovis Halvavis was slightly before him, was before him, and the Reb Shloimeh Ibn Gavirol was known to be, as we said, a great philosopher in his time and so on, a great Chochem Godel, and he went and took the sefer, the Chovis Halvavis. He himself, you can quite imagine, was quite capable of being original in his own right. As a matter of fact, in another place he writes that I was very original, and yet we see in many aspects he really took a lot of material, which he writes in one place, which is from the Chovis Halvavis, and it's known as sort of like a kitzur Chovis Halvavis, sort of like a short form of a Chovis Halvavis. And that would explain the fact that, interesting is that going back to 1550, one of the early editions of the Chovis Halvavis, they printed together, the Chovis Halvavis was printed together with the sefer called Tikkun HaNefesh V'Amidos of Reb Shloimeh Gavirol. Because we see it, because the two Svarim are very closely related. The sefer Tikkun HaNefesh V'Amidos, they consider it to be a chelik of the Chovis Halvavis, in a sense. So in Turkey, as a matter of fact, that was in 1550, that particular edition, they printed together Mitzarev to the Chovis Halvavis, the Sefer Tikkun HaNefesh HaMidos of Reb Shloimeh Gavirol, to point that out. Again, possibly one of the earliest that you could find out, one of the earliest that mention the Chovis Halvavis, was someone whose name we had already mentioned in the past, by the name of Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra. And we pointed out again, not to confuse with Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, the common Pirish al HaTorah, when you see the Ibn Ezra, is Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra was earlier. Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra, by the way, also was born in Spain, in Granada, and he actually was born in the year 1040, sort of. 1040 was Nifter in the year 1140. And Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra himself, also interesting, they were all philosophers. I mean, these great people, was, as a matter of fact, was a Python, and particularly was known as a linguist. Was a very big bucky in languages, Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra. Interesting thing that the namesake, Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, totally different person altogether, and later. Also was, of course, a very, very person who had a tremendous skills regarding Lashon Kodesh. The Sefer Ibn Ezra deals with the dikduk and the grammar, Al HaTorah. That is in the mainstay. Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra, who is before him, and again, not related, but just the name Ibn Ezra. Ben Ezra, that's what it means. Reb Moshe Ben Ezra. His father's name was Ezra, and Avraham Ibn Ezra. His father's also named Ezra. So Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra, in his youth, he was really a Talmud of one of the great Poskim, which again, B'nai Torah, even some of them are not aware of, but one of the great Poskim called the Ritz Geus. Ritz Geus is Rabbeinu Yitzchak Geus, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Geus of Spain, whose halachis farim, let me tell you, he was born in 1030, and the Ritz Geus' psakim and halachis are mentioned a lot in the Torah. The tour, as he goes through and he brings down and he compiles the various minhagim, because the tour was a koilel. You know, the famous tour, the Shulchan Aruch, of course, was a takeoff later from the tour. But the tour brings down minhagim koilel, so both from Spain as well as from Germany. All of them. Because the tour himself, Lemaise, started out in Germany and later emigrated with his father, the Rosh, the Balaturi, to Spain. So he brings down all of the dais. But among the various opinions that he brings down the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Geyus, he brings it down. And the psak of the Ritz Geyus in his time was something that was accepted in all of Spain, in all of Sfard. In all of Sfard, as Ramban writes. Ramban writes in the Melchamis, in the Sefer Melchamis, I'm going to tell you the lotion of the Ramban, regarding the Ritz Geyus, he writes, Ma'olam Nahagu, it was a particular minhag, he said, that people conducted themselves. Particular area. Moelom Nahagu ad shiro divrei Rabbi Yitzchak Geyus. He says uposhat v'chozar. He says, and then things later on changed. So the Ramban points out the koyach of Rabbi Yitzchak Geyus, that a particular minig which people had kept for a long time, but when they saw the words of the Ritz Geyus, Rabbi Yitzchak Geyus, that otherwise so it turned over. And interesting is to point out that Reb Moshe ben Ezra that we're talking about, Reb Moshe ben Ezra wrote a sefer called Shiras Yisrael. Right, Shiras Yisrael. He writes there that Hazokin Shebechabura v'Hamaule, the elder of the Chabura and the Maule, which means the greatest, v'Hamaule, Shebehem Hoy Reb Yitzchak Evan Geus, he writes and he points out. Oh, Agavurche, it's interesting to point out that it's misyachis to him, it's related to him that the Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechoyel was the Mechaber Reb Yitzchak Geyus, the Ritz Geyus, with the Welt adopted. Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechoyel, the people sing, is attributed to the Ritz Geyus. So Reb Moshe Ben Ezra, as we pointed out, Reb Moshe Ben Ezra, again, let's remember that he was in the 1000s and lived into the 1100s, talking quite early, a Talmud again of the Ritz Geyus, and he excelled very strongly in piyutim and in poetry, Bechlau. Tremendous koich haksive, and we mentioned that we have from him or somehow about 220 piyutim, 200 and a greater part of those piyutim, which are found in the Sephardic Machzorim, and they are mainly in Slichas. Imagine if you have to say that many Slichas. Imagine if you get up Slichas. So saying Slichas. So you have the greater part is found in the Sephardic Machzorim in Slichas, and being that those many of his compositions were related to Slichas, he's known as the Hasaloch, that was his name, the Bala Slichas, because he dedicated so much of his talents to writing Piyutim on Slichas, Hasaloch, the supplicant, you know, the person. As well, also, there's Kinois also mourning the Churban Beis Hamikdash, you also have from Reb Moshe Ben Ezra. And what's interesting to point out, particularly, he wrote a poetic elegy on the Rif that we spoke about. When the Rif was Nifter, he wrote a poetic, you know, dissertation on the Rif, which was, by the way, inscribed on the Rif's tombstone, on the Matzeva of the Rif. Again, he was a distinguished philosopher and a linguist, particularly specialized, of course, in Loshon Kodesh, and therefore was very, very close to Yehuda Halevi, the great Python. Right, Yehuda Halevi, famous Yehuda Halevi, he was very close to him. Matter of fact, Yehuda Halevi actually stayed once in his house for a while when Yehuda Halevi sojourned, came to Granada in Spain, which was the place where Moshe Ben Ezra lived at the time. So later on he wrote a sefer, pointed out before, Shiras Yisrael, so on, which basically it talks about the development. He talked about the development of different styles of writing, the development of stylings of Hebrew poetry in Spain, and he analyzes the different styles and so on. And it becomes a source of tremendous treasure of understanding the styles and the nuances of those early years in Spain. By the way, he also wrote a philosophical work called Arugis Saboysen. The Arugis Saboysen, which is like a bunch of b'samen, right? Which is Arugis Saboysen. But that's a philosophical work concerning the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the universe. And he quotes Rabbeinu Sadia Goin, he quotes Rabbi Shloimeh Ben Gvirol, as we pointed out as well, and was both interestingly written in Arabic and later translated into Lashon Kodesh. That was the nature of the times in those days. So as pointed out, he was a linguist, he was accomplished in Lashon Kodesh, he was accomplished in Arabic, he was accomplished in Aramaic, he was accomplished in Latin, and most likely he said also in Greek and so on and so forth. And he was also a very commonly used as a debater against different scholars in areas of religion and disputations and so on. So Rav Moshe Ben Ezra, as we're talking about here, he brings down, and he's made that he was karev to the generation of the Chovas Avos, because we said we have no direct sources regarding exactly the pinpoint of Chovas Avos. We know it was very early, but Rav Moshe Ben Ezra writes that the Chovas Avos, the Baal Chovas Avos, was close to his generation, was karev ledoire. And as we pointed out, Rav Moshe Ben Ezra was also in the 1000s. And he writes that the Chovas Avos was Karev Ledoire, and it's very possible, some say, that he even had the opportunity maybe even to see him in his youth, when Rav Moshe Ben Ezra was still young, he was able to see him. So in his Sefer Arugis HaBoisim, he brings down the Chovas Avos, regarding in particular what we mentioned when we started the series in the Chovas Avos. The Chovas Avos points out in the Hakdama that he called the Sefer Chovas Avos because particularly he saw that there was not enough emphasis on the machshava and on the heart. People were only doing mitzvahs mechanically, whereas the true importance and the true quality of mitzvahs is not just to do it by rote, but the kavon and the machshava is very, very important. And that's why the Chovas Avos writes in the Hakdama, the Sefer is called Chovas Avos, the duties of the heart. And he in fact takes up on that, Rav Moshe Ben Ezra in the Sefer Arugis HaBoisim, he brings the Chovas Avos regarding the importance of the Chovas Avos to apply heart and to apply machshavah to whatever you're doing. And he writes that the words of the Chovas Avos was written Karov Lizmanoi, was written close to his time. So we have, again, the Rav Moshe Ben Ezra, he's the earliest that can be traced, that brings down the Chovas Avos. Interesting also, to go maybe to say the second, which is going to be later tekufa, that brings down the Chovas Avos is Rav Avraham Ben Ezra. That is the commonly known, the Ben Ezra, when we talk about in all the Mikrois Gedolos Chumashim, printed the commentary in the Perushim of the Ben Ezra. So he was like a third generation. He was a third generation after the Chovas Avos. Regarding the Rav Avraham Ben Ezra, he was also went towards the end of the 1000s. So it was like the end of the 1000s. And interesting, what does he bring the Chovas Avos? What does the Ben Ezra regarding what? He brings him, something that the Chovas Avos writes in Shara Bitochen. We're not up there yet, but we're going to get there. In Shara Bitochen in Perik Dalad, regarding the question, which is an all-time question, not too much earlier than the Chovas Avos, because Rambam also discusses, and others discuss, but Chovas Avos earlier. Around the question that how come that of all the schar and oynish that the Torah talks about all over, it has never mentions schar lo'olam habo, about the afterlife. Torah talks about this world, right? And it talks about anything that you find always, but you can have a good life and things are going to go well for you. In Krishna, right? Either v'asar shemaim, if you're not going to do the right thing, otherwise you are going to have rain and you're going to be fruitful and so on and so forth. Everything is dealing with inyonim avoylam hazeh, the rewards and the punishment. Why is it not mentioned going to Gan Eden, going to Gehenim? It's not mentioned such things. And this is again, the Ibn Ezra brings down the Chovas Avos. By the way, the Maral also addresses that question. Maral in his Torah. Again, why the Schar of the future? Rabban Kotler in the Sefer Mishnah Sarin also addresses that question. But again, raises the question which was brought down again by the earlier sources. And he has also an opinion regarding that situation. So the Ibn Ezra in fact brings it down in Parshas Hazino. Now it's noteworthy to point this out for a second reason. Because if you open up a Mikrois Gedolos Chumash in many of the editions, original Mikrois Gedolos editions. Realize the Mikrois Gedolos editions, which decided, which came up with the idea to put on the Chumash on the page, different Mefarshim. No, you used to have a Chumash, then Rashi, and then came the idea, why just Rashi? Well, he would Rashi. Put Ramban there, put the other Mefarshim also on the page, which of course was very, very helpful to this day. They always come up with new things. They put on different styles Chumashim, they leave out some of the old ones and put in some of the new ones, and so on and so forth. But in Venice, going back to Venice, interestingly, going back as far as 1525, when the Ibn Ezra brings down the Chovas Avos, it's a mistake, a typographical error, it's printed Rabbeinu Hai. It should be Rabbeinu Bechaya. This has been clearly, by scholars, they caught this mistake. This is really, he's talking about, this is Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is what it should be. And it's found in all of the Mikrois Gedolos Chumashim, as we said, which it started out from the mistake starting from the Venice print, and but if you find going back to an earlier print, which is in Naples, a Chumash print, there clearly it says Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye, it says, doesn't say Rabbeinu Hai. So he's brought down again by Rav Meir ben Ezra, it is brought down. Interesting thing is that Chovas Avavos had a son which was known by the name of Yitzchak, and as a result, he was, well, not nicknamed really, but the Chovas Avavos, whose name was Rabbeinu Bechaye, as we see, but he was also known as, in an Arabic name known as Abu Ishaq, the father of Yitzchak. Abu, which is Av, Abu Ishaq, the father of Yitzchak, was also, as he was known by that particular name. So, Rabbi Isai, so we're going to take a look here. On the sheet, we're going to look, and we're going to talk about the Chovas Avavos situations, Metz Hashem, next time a little bit more. And let me point out that if we take the first item that you have here on the sheet, it's from the Sefer Kav Yosher. The Sefer Kav Yosher is a sefer that we have featured many times in the Chumash Shiurim. The Shabbos morning was a Tzvi Hirsch Koidenover. It was a tremendous Baal Musa sefer, which again I said in the later Doiris or so, the sefer sort of has not been used as much as it was used in Europe. In Europe it was a very commonly, it was come out, every house had a Kav Yosher. It's a very, very stark Musa sefer, but the styles of Musa change from time to time and so on and so forth. So as we say, but in the Hasidic world, in the Hasidic Olam, the Sefer Kav Yosher still is very, very much in vogue, if we can use that terminology. And in fact, it was reprinted very, very beautifully from one volume into two very beautiful volumes, the Sefer Kav Yosher. The Kav Yosher lived in the 1600s. He was nifted in 1682. He was the son of a great Goyen as well. His father was Rab Aaron Shmuel Koidenover, who is the Mechaber of the Sefer Birchis HaZevach and Tver Shmuel. You open up the Vilna Shas in the back. If you ever notice some of these smaller Hagoyas, you have Rosh Hashanah, everybody knows. But you'll see Hagoyas, there's a Hagoyas Rab Aaron Shmuel Koidenover. That was the father of the Kav Yosher. Father Kav Yosher, and he was imprisoned for libel reasons, but for 5 years in Vilna. He was imprisoned there, and he went through the Gzeiris of Tach V'Tat 1648, the tremendous Gzeiris with so many Yidim who killed the Chmelnitsky pogroms. And his sefer is called Kav Yosher, which is right the Kav Yosher, which means which should be the straight path. And the sefer Kav, right, has 102 parokim of the name Kav. It's called Kav Yosher. So the name Kav Yosher, also symbolic of how many parokim in the Sefer. It's not because it's called Kav Yosher, that's why it has 102 parokim. But the Maase, it has 102 parokim, which is the gematria of Kav. And also, interesting thing, what else? His name is Tzvi Hirsch. Tzvi is the gematria what? 102. Tzvi is also gematria 102. So you have Kav is gematria 102. 102 prokim. His name is Tzvi Hirsch. And by the way, Hirsch, how do you write Hirsch? Rearrange it. Hayosher. Hey Yud Reshin. That is Hirsch. Tzvi Hirsch. Right? So Hirsch, Tzvi Hirsch. Tzvi is Kav, gematria Kuf Beis. And Hayosher, which is Hirsch. Just like Avucha, just let me tell you, before we go move on, that the Sefer Kav Yosher brings in Perikim involved. He says, Ra'isi, he says, I saw Yehudi, I saw a tailor. I saw a tailor, Chayet. Why am I mentioning Dafke, this particular thing in this Perik? Because you can see what has a Shaykh is. Because we're going to show on this sheet here, Rabbi Isai, a number of things that stand as a blocker, as a mechitza to a Yitz Parnosa. There are many things. There are many things that stand in the way when a Yid finds himself in situations, but there's a number of things particularly that are pointed out that certainly are not as gula for having a panosa to be matzliach in his livelihood. But he brings down the Kav Yosher, brings down, I saw a chayot. He said, a person by trade, b'miktsoyo, he was a chayot, he was a tailor, and was nehenem igi kapoy. Was nehenem from the fruits of his labors. So before his p'tira, writes the Kav Yosher, this tailor, tzivoy was mitzaveh la'anshei chevra kadisha. It was mitzaveh to the chevra kadisha, ki yasu ma'shulchon sheshimesh loy l'tzorech avidoso. He says, the table that he was, his work table, his workshop table, that table should be used to make his oren, to make his casket. This was his svar, that the oren, that when he leaves this world, should be used, they should take his work table, and he says he had the tape measure that he used in order to measure fabric when customers came. He says, to take that tape measure and put it into his hand. Put it into his hand and he should be nikbar. Right? Should be buried together with that tape measure. And people ask, people are very surprised, what kind of mishuna did he get tzvoy? So the Kama Yosher, that he explained, and he said the following, Hashulchan v'hamido, my table, my workshop table, my working table. And he says, my tape measure, yili lemelitzim toivim. They will stand as good advocates for me in Shemayim. Melitze Yosher, the yo'idu alai bebezin shalmalo. And they will testify on my behalf in the bezin shalmalo, kishnei edim. Two things, the table and the tape measure. These between them, shloshayachti yodi. I was not shloshayach yad. He said, Lokachas afpisas bar mishiyore hu arigim sheviuli. He says, Lukachosai. In other words, when customers gave me material, you know what happens after you cut here left and right? So you have your upfal, you know, you have the people, you have the expertise. I did not take, even says, anything. A strand of extra fabric, he says, that was brought to me from my customers, Lahavtiras Bigdeim. Vinasosi Vinosati Bamuna. And therefore, my life, my livelihood, my panosa, the way I dealt with my panosa was with Elokite, and this should stand me as Melitza Yosher. So brings down the Kava Yosher. Well, so let's take a look now. The first item that we have here, in fact, is from the Kava Yosher, Perek Yudalit. Vim came. Writes the Kava Yosher as follows. Azor Gedoyle Hilim Neyodo. This is a warning to people. Hashemeya koil bechi shel sochir sheboiche abu terchosoi. This particular segment of Kavi Yosher is talking about an employer who has people working for him and he does not pay him. Does not pay them. And the koil says, the cry of the sochir of the employer who cries because of his tircha, the work, right, that he invested. Afil hu orel, even if he's a goy, don't shortchange him. Even if it's a goy that's working for you, being that the socher, the hired hand, and the worker is following him, v'shoyel, right, and he's asking, v'doyrish, and he's begging, u'mevakish sechorei mashitorach v'yoga, and yet the employer is deaf to the ears, is deaf to listening, v'zeh oitem oznoi mishmoya, and memele, he has his ears that are blocked, and gives him all kinds of excuses, you know, backwards and forwards, come and go. There's no greater chilul Hashem of what? Of preempting someone who needs to be paid, deserves to be paid. Says the Kavei Yosher of the Onshoi Memayer Lovoi. And the Oynish V'Neshemayim will be quick to become when the Chosov Ozlin Le'ibud Le'timian. As Nechosim, he says, will go down the drain. What does the Kavei Yosher says? Employer thinks that he's going to have more by not playing his employees. You can give him excuses. I can't. This all kinds of situations. Not paying them, he's not going to have more. Just the opposite. The chos of ozen leibut. The avshim mechiyoso hilafisho betoive. And he may fool himself. He says, oh, my business is thriving. He does not recognize. They say, what kind of punishment? No punishment. Things are going well. So he says, even though lefisho it's going betoive, revach vahatzlocha lo yelo lebesoif. The end of the day, he will not have revach vahatzlocha. Bevada yovoi oisoi balabayis ledeanius. You can be sure that it'll bring him down to poverty. Ve'eim rachmen olof. Besides that, he says, v'zul azeh, and besides all this, harbe onshim koshim mishav meches, besides the loss of his parnosa, he says, on account of withholding, that's called koivish schar socher. Besides that, many other types of onshim, al kein tzorech odom liyizor meoid, shol yikoshel b'zeh achet shol koivish schar socher. So here's one thing, also it's a chelik of the hanhoge, of Elokite, how one deals in his business. And the interesting that piece of Kavei Yosher that we quoted with the Chayot, see, have strong sensitivity. In the songs are interesting. This is Perek Yudalit. The piece that we mentioned happens to be in Perek Memvov, different part of the Kavei Yosher, but bringing out again the tremendous chashivas of how one conducts his business. But here it says the price that one is apt to pay. So it's not just a nice thing to do, but we see really this really is a chelik, integral part of your atzloche, is how in fact you conduct your business. Nasos of Nasot of Emuna, as he points it out. Now, the famous Sefer also, Pele Yoyitz, Musa Sefer, Rab Lezer Papoy. Also there is a kuntras or called Yalzu Chasidim. Let Chasidim rejoice. It's called Yalzu Chasidim. And there he writes as follows, the Shomer Mayin Hora. Listen what he writes. V'cheinim chanono Yashem Oysher. If a person, let's say, was blessed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what, showered him and was chayin and granted him ashiris, yastir oshroi kasher yuchal. Person should not flaunt his ashiris. Yastir oshroi kasher yuchal, babu shal yishlut boy ayin hora. Ukvar om rabu seinu zal, quotes the Gemara of Basra, that Gemara says, as a matter of fact, it used to be quite common, Odom also ishloila has bias asmoi, a person born above Vassar. Person nature would sometimes plead poverty, not because he's really, why? Not to give the impression that he's an Oisha. This was the Anhogi, as the Gemara says, above Vassar. Umagami says, especially says, Bemokem Aniyim. The worst thing, worse than anything, is, you should never flaunt it, but especially in front of people who are poor, who are suffering. And you go flaunting what you have. Ubifneyem, he says, yaster me'oid oshroi. As emphasis. In front of Aniyim especially. The yaster me'oid oshroi. V'layare atzmoi, he says, soyveya ben hare'evim. Others are hungry. Don't go show off that you are satisfied. You do have. V'yakovino olav asholem oma lebonov already said, lomo tisro. Why should you stand out? Lomo tisro. It's poshut common sense, Rabbi Isaiah. Yeah, you have people who can't afford things, Baruch Hashem, whoever is blessed and has whatever. And you don't, sometimes you don't mean wrong, Davke. So you go over to someone, who is barely making it, he's behind in all of his bills, and you tell him, I'm going out 3 weeks, I'm going on vacation, halfway around the world, and so on and so forth. You come on and not to hurt him, but you're going to be careful. People don't have to know a thing. Hey, you bought yourself a bedroom set for $25,000. Nobody said, then the kudi is loma tisroi, especially people who are hurting. Especially people who are hurting. It's an extra inyan to be very, very careful. Besides the inyan of ayin hara, the time you're hurting, you're being mitzar so many people. And he goes on. If this is by yidin, he says, b'yoyis b'fnei hagoyim. He says, the pele yoyis, especially he says, b'fnei hagoyim sorech lahasre moedes oshroi. If you're living among non-Jews, make sure that you're quiet. You keep your ashiras quiet. Ki einei rishoyim tichleno, because the eyes of the rishoyim can destroy what you have. Umekanem al Yisrael kine gedoyla. They have tremendous jealousy, especially on Yidden. Ki hama'at shiroyim doymelim harbe. They see a little bit, but they think they see a lot. So if a Yid has even a little bit, but by the Gentile, he already, in his mind, the Yid has tremendously amount. And he says, personal experience in our history. This is what stood, he says, against us. This was the cause. It turned against us. Look what he says. Don't wear exceptionally flashy clothing. He says, things that are very expensive. Few reasons, he says. There's other reasons as well. Look what he says. Imitzad shehu me'usad likoshel. He says, Beroyes ha'gaive. What about the idea of gaive? It's very easy to become nichshel and gaive. I have. I have and others don't have. V'liyos nimser b'yad yisroi. And when you become nichshel in these situations, then the Yetzer Hara has you. The Yetzer Hara has you. K'depirish b'zoyer ha'kodi. Zoyer ha'kodi says on the posik, v'atit feseyu b'bigdoi. There's a homiletic drosha. The Zohar says that the Yitzhahara was able to grab him. The big doy, he was wearing fancy clothing. Beautiful pshat. You want to show off? Gaive. You have now dug a hole and you have now yourself ensnared. And you have now fallen into a trap. You yourself put up your own trap. That Yitzhahara can trap you. And then to the Yimitzad, the Sholta Ben Abisha. And Einhor as well. So there's many, many reasons why a Yid should not flaunt his Ashiris and what he has, especially in front of Umas Oilam. So let's move it to the side, Rabbi Isaiah. Let me show you something fascinating. This idea, this notion, let's remember, the Tzvi Hirsch Kaidenover and also Rabbi Lezer Papoy, which is the Pele Yoyitz, as we pointed out. Now let's take a look at the Kleyokers in Parshas Devarim. Kleyoker lived in the 1500s. Kleyoker in the 1500s. Matter of fact, was Nifter in the early 1600s. The Maral was 1609, and he was a few years after the Maral, he was Nifter, in Prague. Caver of the Kleyoker is in Prague, and he was the Talmud of the Tosfos Yontif. Kleyoker was the Talmud of the Tosfos Yontif. So, Kleyoker in Parshas Devarim, it says, the Pasuk says, you might remember, Rav lochem soivis ohor hazeh, because Baruch Hu says to Moshe, it's enough that you are walking and surrounding this mountain, it's time to move forward. Penu lochem tzafoina, move north. Buon Tzvayna. Beautiful words of the Kli Yoker. Very fundamental words. The Inyan, he says, Hatzvayna Zu. The Inyan of Tzvayna. Tzvayna has a double meaning. Tzvayna means north. What does it mean?
Hidden.
Hidden. The Simona by the Seder, right? Tzofen. Tzofen, the Afikoyman, which is hidden.
Vina Tzvayna Zu. Nereloime. Shim Yimso Isha Yisraelu Begoles.
He says, when a Yid finds himself in Golus, he says, Hochel Azeh.
He says, Eza Atzloch is Yerushom. And a Yid in this Golus, he says, finds, and he's Matliach in Golus.
And he is Matliach, a little bit here.
Oz Yatminu Vyatzpino Hakul Bifnei Esav.
A Yid should hide, conceal his Atzloch in front of Esav.
Ki Eilucha Umo, he says, Shimiskanas Bi Yisrael Kama Esav.
There's no people that have so much jealousy. Yidn as Esav, Kiladatum, because in their minds, Hakul Gezula Beyodam Ahem in Birkas Yankov. Whatever you have, you stole from us. You shouldn't be guarding it. So you stole from us, it belongs to us. We should have had all the riches that you have, we should have had it. All the spoils that you have. So Amels, whatever Yid Fadins, no matter which way, he stole it from Esav. He stole it from Yaakovinu, the brachas of Yaakov. Shaloka Brachosav Shalaisav Bemirma, with deceit.
The Chen Yaakov Tzivu Labonov, Lomot Isro, Yaakovino already was Mitzavet. Perish Rashi Bifne Bnei Yishmoel Ve'esav. Ki Ilu Atem Sveim, why do you give the impression that you are Sveim, Ki Shneim Sovrim, She Yitzchok Gozal Hatzloches Yishmoel?
Now Esav is a time to Yaakov, and Yishmoel is a time to Yitzchok. So both, Saide Bnei Yishmoel, and Saide Bnei Esav, all of them have tainis to Eden. The Yaakov Gozal Hatzloches Esav Alidei Shtadlus.
Alkein tzivo davke al Esav is a penulachem tzvoino shal yiskanu bochem.
There's a hepach, he says, memash Yisrael oisim. Look what he says. He's talking about his time. Remember, he's talking about 1500, 16th century. There's a hepach. What I'm saying now, says the Kli Yoker, is the opposite. He says, lighter how Yidden are conducting themselves. Unfortunately, he says, this is the opposite. The hepach, he says, memash Yisrael oisim medoiris halolu ba'artzei seveyem.
Eden, who are living in the lands of the enemy, kemisha yeshloi mona, a person who has one mona, $100, umara atzmoi b'malbushi kovid, ubate misesfunim v'chashuvim kilo hoyle kam alofim.
A Yid even wants to ingratiate himself, to give the appearance he has much more than he has. He has only one mona, but he makes it look like he has thousands. As somebody say, I don't want to be a millionaire, I just want to live like one. No.
That's it. So it says, Umegarim ho umes beatzimam, and he's writing on, Ve'oivrim al mashinema patum lochem tzvoino, Uminig ze, he says, Ubirchas bnei ameinu.
He says, Vuhu amesavev is kol hatlo, that's which causes all of the tzoros ashim tzoosnu, Vamaskilim, those who have seichel, yovinu likach musa, that they can fact musa. So this is the way it works, Rabbi Yisai. This is the way you see something that has been bemoaned in hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years ago already. So finally, in our encouragement of the Bitochen, of our Tzloche coming in the Shemayim, so let's move down to sort of like one of our contemporaries, Kemat, which is Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. It was the safest you have here, number four, Bederech Eitz HaChaim, which wrote about the life of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, of course, the Shver of Baron Kotler, and it's mentioned on the Posik Peseach Es Yodecho, Masbi Alachol Chai Rotzen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides, who opens his hand. Rabbi Zalman mentioned, L'chol echod ve'echod doyeg HaKadosh Baruch Hu umamtzi lo yisparnasoso, as you'll see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worries individually about each individual person. Dai machsoyroi asher yachzach loy, right? To give him that which he is lacking. So he says, Kach noyeg hoye Rabbi Zalman Meltzer bal even ozol, the mechaber the seif en ozol, zatzal loymer. He would say like this. He would say to the sandler, the shoemaker. Rabbi Zalman would say to the shoemaker, to the sandler, mevim, he says, ne'olim letikun. He would say to the sandal, to the shoemaker, right, who works with shoes, repairs shoes, Veitzel achayet to the tailor, toifim begodim, who sew begodim. So he said like this, he says, bo bimido, in the same way, he said, in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the tailor, right, his panosis through his begodim, and the shoemaker through shoes, bo bimido, the same way, doeg haboir af lepanosis, he says, harebe shel chasidim. Listen to Rabbi Yisai, listen to this. A Rebbe chasidim, what a chasidim come to a Rebbe? For a bracha. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Rebbe panosa? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that his brachas are makuyim. If the Rebbe's brachas wouldn't be makuyim, they wouldn't go. It's the same way Kodesh Baruch Hu works that the tailor should have customers, the shoemaker should have customers. So how does Kodesh Baruch Hu work it with the Rebbe of Chassidim? Kodesh Baruch Hu sees his mamala, the Rebbe's brachas. He gives them this. So this is what he points out. He says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing lepanosos ha-Rebbe shal ha-Chassidim lepanosos shrosh ha-Yeshiva. On the Nasha, Rebbe, he says, yuchal lechalkel is b'nei beisoi. In order that the Rebbe should be able, right, to support his family, so Hanukkah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu bestowed upon him, as Akoya Shebrachoysov, he says, Tiskaimeno. Oh, as a result of that, there is brachas amekoyim. So boy male of chasidim, muvakshim and shivarchim. And also mekoyim panasosoi, he says, and he said, amnasher rosh yeshiva tia panose. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him better shiurim. Shmi matzlich mis yeshiva. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him his chayin das him. His chayin das him gives him good ideas, gives him good svaras. He says they should be able. He helps him prepare the shiur properly. Says oisem sar cholaim rebifne talmidov. He says bnei hayeshiva. As it said about the chassan sofer. San sofer's mother was the daughter of the chassan sofer. Chassan sofer was Ehrenfeld. Chassan sofer. It was unfortunately quite a number of years of his life. It was not healthy years, and as a result of the doctor's instructions, he had to leave and take time off to go to some of the resorts, push it to fresh air and drink, as those days, drink mineral water and so on and so forth. So he writes that he's learning, of course, as much as he can over there. But this is one thing he sees, that if he's not in the yeshiva, where he's supposed to say shurim, he says to the Talmidim, the siyata dishmai that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him, in order, all that, he says, learning privately doesn't have that. And not because he's not learning Biyun, he says, I'm learning Biyun, he says. But this Bezundi Sati Dishmai, when you're learning with Talmidim, because Baruch Hu gives you that Sati Dishmai to be able to be Matzliach. So see, so Kwan Rosh Hashiva needs Panosa, because Baruch Hu gives him his. He says, whoever needs. This is the Pesach Yisadech Mazbiel Chol Chai Rotzim. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yisai, now, to the Chai V'Salvodis. We're starting Perik Revi. In the Chai V'Salvodis, we have, the Olam had the usual ones, is Daf Resh Chof Tes, but it's Perik Revi, starting Perik Revi. Okay, Perek Revi. Chovetz Chavavos, in this Perek, at least from the beginning, Chovetz Chavavos points out that there are basically seven things a person, he says, has to be mishtamish regarding bitochim. That there are seven things that a person has to rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. That there are seven, and these seven things also are broken up into parts. There's seven, like sort of like seven main headings, cardinal things that a person has to rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. But as I'll point out, that they break down into various parts. And he starts out to say as follows: Aval hadvarim yisay shechayiv hamamin livtoyach behem al abayre yisale. He says the things that it's necessary for a person who is a mamin to rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. By the way, let's make reference again. We started one of the earlier shurim b'shem the Ramban. Ramban writes in the Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, Ramban writes that in order to be a Baal B'Tochen, you have to be a Mamin. But not every Mamin is a Baal B'Tochen. And Ramban was out. You find many, many people, most of us, Avadavad, you ask a Yid, I'm sure my term is, you believe in Hashem, Avadah. Yet when he's confronted with the Tzara, does he have B'Tochen? Not so easy to have B'Tochen. But he's a Mamin B'Hashem, yeah. But B'Tochen, right. But if you are Baal B'Tochen, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Behecha, Avadah, you're a Mamin. Rabban gave a moshel, says the moshel is between the tree and the fruit. If you see a fruit, then you know there has to be a tree. But if you see a tree, not necessarily there are going to be fruit. He says, if you see betochen, he says, then you're sure that he says that there is a munah. Betochen is the pre, is the fruit of a munah. But if someone is a mamin tree, doesn't necessarily mean that there is betochen. That's why the Chovetz Chavavos, possibly, starts out, Aval hadvarim shechayiv hamamin libtoich b'Hashem. Because one thing is clear, betochen necessitates a munah. You might be a mamin, but you don't have betochen. But if you have betochen, for sure you have the prerequisite, you have to be a mamin. So his opening words are that the mamin, the one who believes, has a chiyuv to be b'teir b'Hashem, koilu lemoisom, he says, shnei minim. There are two kinds of areas where a person is supposed to have betochen to rely on Hashem. Echon mehem, one area, he says, is divrei hoilom azeh. One area is regarding items on this world. As we'll soon see, he'll give examples. Just laying out the system. In one area is regarding items of Olam Hazeh, you have to have betochen.
Vasheni, the second part where you have to have betochen is divrei ha'olam habo, is regarding items that's negate to the future world. So you have to have betochen regarding items that belong to this world, and you have to have betochen regarding items that belong to the next world. And he explains, he starts out. He says, but the divrei ha'olam hazeh, but regarding Olam Hazeh, which we said is the first part, the first chalik, that itself it says, Yecholku l'shnei chalokim, that's also divided into two parts. The two parts again, Inyon Olam Hazeh, Inyon Olam Habo. But Inyon Olam Hazeh itself, Inyon Olam Hazeh itself is divided into two parts, where you need bitochen in. Echod Mehem, he says, one area of Olam Hazeh, one area of Olam Hazeh, Inyon Ha'olam l'toyeles Olam Hazeh, is referring to the items that regarding Olam Hazeh, for example, eating, drinking, clothing, there's a whole slew of situations that a person needs pleasure to survive in this world. So these are inyonim that benefit life in Olam Hazeh. You should have bitochen on that. Again, the details that come later. I'm just giving you this, the general idea. So again, the first part of Olam Hazeh, two parts in Olam Hazeh itself. Two parts in Olam Hazeh itself. The first part of Olam Hazeh is to have bitochen in the inyonim that give us benefit in this world, which has nothing to do with the next world. Possible to live in this world. In order to be able to live in this world, you have to have bitochen in the items that are negated to living in this world. He'll detail later. Vasheni, he says, the second part, also Olam Hazeh, listen to this, this is a combination. Second part of Olam Hazeh, the toyeles, he says, ho Olam Habo. In other words, you have to have bitochen in items of Olam Hazeh, but the purpose of these Olam Hazeh, the items are to bring you to Olam Habo. In other words, in this world itself, there are two sides to it. There is a chelik of life in this world to survive in this world, but then there are things that we have to do in this world to bring us to Olam Haba. So all of it is being done in Olam Hazeh. All of these two in Yonam are being done in Olam Hazeh. Chelik Aleph of Olam Hazeh is to live in Olam Hazeh. Chelik Beis is to do things again in Olam Hazeh, but for Olam Haba. So you have to have betochen in those areas as well. He says, and he says that the inyone ha'olam letoyeles ha'olam hazeh. Now he breaks it up into subdivisions. So again, the first part of olam hazeh was to have bitochen in those inyonim that you need for olam hazeh, nothing to do with olam haba. That itself, where, what? What are these inyonim that you have to have bitochen, which is a toyeles, which gives you benefit in olam hazeh? Again, not to lead you to Olam Haba, but simply to live in Olam Hazeh. Is that itself, it says, Yechol Kol Shloshi Chalokim. That itself will be divided into three Chalokim. Echad Mehem. In other words, Olam Hazeh, to live in Olam Hazeh, there are three areas, just for Olam Hazeh. Echad Mehem, one area of Olam Hazeh, the needs of Olam Hazeh, are regarding Toyeles Gufay Bulvad. It's regarding things which are the welfare for his own body, which are things which are the welfare, which have nothing to do with other people. Things which are negeya for his own personal welfare. Then he says, the hasheni, there's also the second part of Olam Hazeh. The second part of Olam Hazeh is toyeles tirfoy, which could be his livelihood. He says also visibo is hoinoi, and also the source of his wealth, umine kinyonov, in his possession. That's regarding already things that he may own. And the shlishi is regarding his family life and his social life. So three areas in Olam Hazeh. Negeya to his own body, negeya, right, to his possessions, to his wealth, to his assets, to what he owns. And the third area is his social life in this world. That includes, he says, Ben Toyelas Ben Ebesoy, his family, Ishtoy, Kroivov, relatives, or Ehavov, his friends, and even enemies. How to deal with his enemies. How to deal with his enemies. So you have to have betochen b'Hashem, how to get around and how to deal with all of these situations. And also, regarding in society, you have people which are either above you or people who are below you. Right? So he says, Umishu hu lemala mimenu, you have people who are in higher standing than you, they're upper class than you. And then ulamatu mimenu, mikitois bnei odom, for different people. So if people are above you, you may have to come onto them because they have the ability to do you favors that you can't afford because they're above you. So you'd have to take from them. Those people are below you, you may have to give them. So the give and take, either taking sometimes. You may be a taker sometimes from people who are above you, and you may be a giver to people who are below you. The attitude of giving and taking also involves bitochen, how to deal with it. Later he'll have the details about it. This is the outline. Alright, so these are inyonim again of to have bitochen relating Olam Hazeh.
in different areas in Olam Hazeh, your social life in Olam Hazeh, your livelihood, your assets, your possessions, how to deal with that, and then things dealing with your body, he says. Then he goes further.
What about the Inyon HaOlam? What about, we said also, Olam Habo? You have to be talking in those things, in other words, things in Olam Hazeh, to bring you towards Olam Habo, that also Yechol Kolishnei Chalokim. To have be talking in those areas. Again, areas in Olam Hazeh, that what you have to do to lead you to Olam Habo, that also is divided into two Chalokim. Echod Mehem. One of them is, Choyviz Halvovois V'He'evorim. It's referring to the person has to understand his duty, that regarding the duties of his heart, V'Evorim in his limbs, Shehu Misyachid Bem Levadoi, which means to say is, which are negative, in other words, what he has to do the right thing, not affecting other people. For example, let's talk about one's personal life. Person puts on tefillin, person puts on tzitzis. These are things that he does b'olam hazeh to lead him to olam habo. But they don't affect other people. These are things tefillin he puts on his own head, tzitzis he puts on, mezuzah he puts on his own house. So these are things which are dealing with only which is negayah to him. The ein maseyu yoytzo behen, and does not affect his ma'asim, do not affect these things. Lahanoiz ulo soy lo lazeikoy. It neither benefits somebody else nor does it harm somebody else. That's one area in olam hazeh, leading to Olam Habo. V'chelik Hasheni, Chelik Hasheni says, Choyves Weivorim, there are other Maisim that the limbs have to do that need to involve other people. You can't do it by yourself. Like we said, Tzitzis you can do by yourself. Tefillin you can do by yourself. Mezuzah you can do by yourself. Matzah you eat by yourself. This one. So he points out, but Choyves Weivorim, Ashele Yuchal Asoysim El Bishtatvu Zalosoy. But there's another area where here already you have to come on to the camaraderie, you have to come on to the shutvus of somebody else, Imoy. Either he says, Bifeoil Ubehipoil. What does it mean? Either because you do it to somebody else, or you need somebody else to do it to you. The point is that the interaction between you and others, you doing it for others, others doing it for you. Lamoshul, Tzedakah. Tzedakah, you need a second party. You can't have tzedakah if you're only one person alone. You have to have a noisan and a makabel. Which direction it goes? Gemilat chasodim, doing acts of kindness. You have to have two people. Limud ha-chokhmah means teaching chokhmah. Uletzav is betoiv, or to be able to encourage others to do the right thing. That involves others, like toichokhah and so on and so forth. Ulehazim minorah, or to warn people from doing bad. That is your role in society. As our example of your own society, you're doing the Menoy Lam Hazeh. Let's remember, you're doing the Menoy Lam Hazeh, but these are things in Olam Hazeh to bring you to Olam Habo. This, all of this is in your Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh for Olam Hazeh's sake, Olam Hazeh lead you to Olam Habo. Now, the Inyone Olam Habo Yechalku L'Shnei Chalokim. And those things that are found in Olam Habo, those that are found and are related to your behavior, in Yon Olam Habo, Yechol Kul Shnei Chalokim, also divide the two parts. Echon Mehem HaGmul HaRoyu. That's referring to the schar that you deserve. In other words, a person, Olam Habo, is reserved for him the schar that he deserves. And then there's a second part in Olam Habo. What's the second part in Olam Habo? V'asheni shuhu mechesed haboyre yisale. It's a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala chasidim v'hanaviyim lo'olam Habo. Which means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo'olam Habo will give particular chasidim more than they deserve. That's mitzad chesed. That's what he says. There are the shnei chalokim in Olam Habo. One chelik in Olam Habo is the gimul horoyu, is the chelik, the reward that he deserves. V'asheni, which is mechesed haboyre, Shabbat adds to the chasidim, to the neviim in Olam Habo, he adds b'tor chesed. So he points out like this. Therefore, so it comes out as a summary. So if it comes out, then he calls out vorim, he says, Shaboitchem behem ala boyri is barach, shiva chalokim. So it comes out that the things that need betochen on HaKadosh Baruch Hu are divided into seven parts. Echod mehem inyone guf hodam bilvad. Some of them are negeya, right to the person's own body. Vasheni, the second chelik of Bitochen, inyone hoinoi, the inyonim regarding his fortune, vesiboy starfoy, the source of his parnosa. Vashlishi, the third chelik where you need Bitochen, inyone ishtoi, ubonov, ukroivov, vehavov, oivov, how to deal in various parts of society. Varavi, the fourth area, is choivis halavovois vaheivorim. Right? Is the duties of the heart and the limbs, which are again negated to you, not to others. Shumis yachid betoyalosom, which is exclusive in their benefit. Right? He says, vazakosom, and the damage is to you. Shehu misyachid. It has to do with him. Then comes Vachamishi, comes the fifth area, which is the external duties. External duties means that affect others. The external duties, these are choyves weivarim, shetoyalosom, which they benefit, vahazakosom, and the harm, misabrois elzalosom, they move over, your behavior affects others. Vahashishi gemul oilam habo, which is the schar of oilam habo, sheyeh kifi hamaise boilam hazeh, according to how you have conducted yourself in this world, vashvig mul ha'olam habo dischara sheyim aboyre yizbarach al derech hachesed, which Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives you beyond more than you deserve. Also galosoy vayhava, because you are Hakadosh Baruch Hu's treasure. If you are Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you manage to become a treasure, is the gula of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he'll give you more. Kuma shikosef. The pasuk in Tehillim says, morav tufcha, how great. Right? How great and how plentiful is your toiv, asher tzafanta l'reyecha, that you, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, have hidden away to those who fear you. Po'alto l'choisim boch. And you have done that to those who are underneath you, right? Neged b'nei Yodom. What's the raya that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives more? So Mefarshim Seika says, more rav tuvcha. That which a person deserves is not called rav. That he deserves. Rav is when you give someone extra, more. So the Loshon, the Pasuk, more rav tufcha shetzafanta l'reyecha, comes to impose this situation. So we're going to have to stop here, Oysa, for this. Let me just conclude with something that was brought to my attention. I mentioned, I give credit to some of the details for Pesach Kronos, as a matter of fact. I want to tell you that the Maise was verified by a Choshev Rav in Amsterdam. It's a Choshev Rav named by Reb Yehuda Leib Lewis. Budalei Lewis is the Av Bezin of Amsterdam, and also the Zid by the name of Dov Aronson, who's the president of a shul called the Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. Interesting name. Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. It's a shul that gathers in Eden that have been pushed around all over. The Nidche Yisrael Yechanes shul, who pointed this out. It's a very, very fascinating thing, and it goes back to 1908. In 1908, the Queen of Holland went for a short vacation to a popular resort area. Yidden would know it from Europe, would know it, called Marienbad. Marienbad would be a place, that would be a meeting place. You'd find Gedolei Yisrael, Litvische, Hasidische. By the way, many of the mices that they write up of meetings of Rav Chanan met the Gerer Rebbe and all these situations, these are places in these resort areas. Where it was Karlsbad, where it was Marienbad. At least that people used to go take baths, the mineral water baths, and so on and so forth. We used to do that. And Queen of Holland, 1908, goes to Marienbad, and as mentioned, this is a place that brought together people from all over. Especially, it was frequented, I won't say mostly, but certainly a lot of Jewish people, and Choshvidim. So it was not, being there was not an official state visit, so Mele, she basically went with a very small entourage. Very, very small entourage. And there was no welcoming ceremony. When she arrived, like nothing. They're very bishtike, like the Seiser. She comes out on the platform, and she noticed, as she gets off the train, a very huge crowd on the platform. Very huge crowd on the platform. So obviously it means that it was a prominent personality. It wasn't her, because nobody was there for her. So she wanted to find out, who is this personality that there's so many people over there? And the people trying to get a glimpse, right, trying to hop, you know, to see who this particular person is. And so she inquired, and she was told that it was the old Munkach Rebbe, the Tzvi Herr Shapiro. That's the father of the Minchas Eluzer. Minchas Eluzer, of course, was the previous Munkach Rebbe, right? And Chaim Luzer Shapiro. Chaim Luzer's father was the Dark Yeshiva, Machaber the Sefer Dark Yeshiva, also a Sefer called Be'er Lachai Roy Antekune Zoyer. Right? And the Machaber of these various Sfarim, there's also more Sfarim. So the Dark Yeshiva, by the way, was Nifter in the year 1914. He was the father of the Minchas Eluzer. So the last Munkach Rebbe in Europe I'm talking about. Well, even though his son-in-law was also for a short while in Munkach, which is the father of the today's Munkach Rebbe. The Minchas Eluzer is the grandfather of today's Munkach Rebbe, and the Dark Yeshiva is the great-grandfather. So she finds out that the Munkach Rebbe is there,
And then she doesn't know what a Rebbe is, so she starts inquiring, what is this, a Rebbe? Who is this? What's this a Rebbe? So they tell her that a Rebbe is a person, a very pious person, he has great wisdom, and he gives brachas, gives blessing, and he gives advice, and thousands of people come to speak to him, to ask him for etzes, and very often they told her that his prayers, his tefillahs are answered, and Memela, they come out having that their wishes are fulfilled. She was very fascinated because she never heard of such a thing. So she and her husband, husband's name was Prince Hendrik, her name, turns out that they were childless and they always were thinking about this problem, that they didn't have any children. And she and her husband, they were very, very concerned about the continuation of the monarchy. It turned to continue the family lineage. She was the only daughter, she was the last one left. She had some half-brothers, but they had died. Right, they died, and she was the only one, and there was no one to continue on as an heir to the throne. So it was something that was very, very much on her mind. So she watches, has the crowd, everybody's crowding around the Rebbe, and she left the train station with her little entourage, and she asked one of the attendants to try to make some contact that she wants to meet the Rebbe. She wants to meet the Rebbe. She wants to be able to meet him. Sure enough, he told the Rebbe that the queen wants to meet him. Vada Navada. So the meeting was held in some sort of a secluded area, in some sort of a beautiful park, just outside the city, which was designated for the meeting place. And the queen was accompanied by two attendants, and the Rebbe had two bachrim with him. Two bachrim with him on the side. So she right away saw him now face to face. She saw this as a person, not a poshta person. She saw a person that was a personality of great stature is sitting in front of her. She tells him very candidly everything about her plight and the situation of not having a child, to be able to carry on the monarchy, to carry on the melucha. Very, very worried about it. The Rebbe listens attentively, and finally he says to her not to worry. And he says to her, so Zvisny says that your monarchy would continue, and he used the posse ka'esh chayo l'sarah ben. Which means to say, just like the Malach came and said that a year from now, right, ka'esh chayo, go a year to now, l'sarah ben, you can have a child, so too, ka'esh chayo l'sarah ben. In Kachave, it comes out that within a year, l'maisa, before, by the way, I just want to mention, before that they were departing, the Rebbe said to her, which is also a posik, which is a posik in Bereshit, says, "Malchusa lo yenosek ad ki yovei shilo." Until Mashiach comes, he says, there's going to be always a lineage. So not only gave her a bracha for now, but he said, "Malchusa lo yenosek," it says, "ad ki yovei shilo." It's a posik, of course, which we find in Yaakovino, right, by Yehuda. "Lo yikasamim," says, "ad ki yovei shilo." So, in Kachav, she had a child. So it was in 1948. So this daughter becomes queen. This daughter, the newly born daughter, was then a baby. So she becomes queen. And Lemaisa, it turns out that later on, her daughter also, she had a daughter. Had a daughter, also became queen. Now, here's what happens. There was a Chushev Aruf. His name was Reb Yankev Tzvi Katz. Reb Yankev Tzvi Katz was a rov in a town in Hungary called Soboslo. Soboslo, which is, by the way, Soboslo is south of Debrecen, not far from Romania. That's what it is. Remember, Moshe. It's called Hoidu Soboslo, it's called. All right. So this Rabbi Katz was brought during the war to Bergen-Belsen. He suffered terribly. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, 12 volumes of his writings, they said, was mamish was burnt. He had 12 volumes were mamish burnt. And he had a son, Shmuel, who was 18 years old, was deported, and they never heard about that son. So this Rabbi Katz was among those who survived. He goes back to Hungary. He tried to rebuild, but he saw there's nothing to build. So he figures that, like thousands of others, he's going to apply to get into the Netherlands. So he applied to the Netherlands government for a visa, but it was rejected because they established a quota to immigrants. Don't let them in. So he applies a second time and was told that Holland was accepting only those, okay, whose presence would be beneficial. In other words, if you're in a profession that the government could use, but rabbis, they have enough. They don't need rabbis. so the can't come in. They didn't give him. So one day, he decides, he's writing himself, he's writing to the queen. This is the first queen we're talking about still. I just told you she had, there's more later. So to the first queen. She writes to the first queen, he's writing, and explains in detail all of the hardships that he went through during the war, and that he wants to live in Holland. And he writes the following phrase. He wrote the letter in Yiddish. But he writes the following phrase. He says, "Surely your highness remembers the very momentous meeting that preserved the course of royalty in Holland." In other words, he detailed in the letter the encounter with the Munkacher Rebbe. In the other, he says, in Marienbad, he says, with a great sage and scholar, he says, from Munkach, "Surely your highness remembers it." He wrote that the Rebbe, before he came to the meeting, he insisted that two boys come along because he needs an interpreter, because the queen would be speaking only German. Rabbi Katz said, "I was one of those two boys sitting on the bench with the Rebbe at the time, and it was I who interpreted your request to the Rebbe. I therefore plead," he writes in the letter, he says, "to your highness, in recognition of my humble service to you in the past, to kindly grant me the favor of permission to emigrate to your country, I'll be forever indebted to you." Now, he wrote it in Yiddish at the time, so they had to have somebody to translate it. There was a Russian chazan, name was Rabinowitz. He was summoned from The Hague, you see, and he translated the letter as we wrote it. And this Rabbi Katz had a son after the war again. Baruch Hashem, he had a son. The other son died. He had a son, Moshe, and he said, lived in Stamford Hill, England, by the way, that son. And he said that his father didn't write it in German because he was afraid that maybe the Queen's secretary would read it in German. Mele, she may throw it away. They want the Jews' request to come in. You never know what happens. They wrote it in Yiddish, you don't know which died dort. And that's where the letter, in fact, came in. So shortly afterwards, by the way, so Rabbi Katz, he arrives back in Amsterdam, because the Queen Maeset personally took care of it, and was able to come and get him. And he goes to the shul of the Nitche Yisrael Yechane shul, that shul that we mentioned. At the time, by the way, this is after the war, at the time, you know who was Rav there? It was a Rav by a Yidden named Rabbi Avram Nivert, Newirth, the father of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa. Shabbos Kolchosa's name is Rabbi Shia Newirth. He was also called Tyrith. So his father was the Rav there. Rabbi Avram Newirth was the Rav in Amsterdam. And this Rav Aaron Newirth decided to leave his position to move to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Katz was immediately appointed the successor, and he served. He was the Rav of the Shul the rest of his life. Rabbi Katz. So Rabbi Katz, he says, never forgot, he says, of course, the graciousness of the family. That the Maisa, because the quota was not to let in, that the queen personally intervened. He wrote a sefer. Can get it all over. It's called Lekat HaKemech HaChodosh. This Lekat HaKemech is from a showing from Rabbeinu Bachaya. He wrote a sefer called Lekat HaKemech HaChodosh. It's a liquid of all inyonim. It's called HaChodosh because it's a new sefer. He's Malakidim. And he writes in the sefer there, he writes, he says, "Hashem guided my footsteps to Amsterdam through the personal intervention of the magnanimous queen," he says, "Wilhelmina. May Hashem exalt her glory," he says, "and may her monarchy continue," he said, "ad ki yovei shila." Rabbi Yisai, we also should be zoiche ad ki yovei shila, bez Hashem, and Amela, to remember that. This is very, very fascinating. That's right.